Hello and a warm welcome to Food and Music here on the Isle of Wight. My name is Paul Bell Chambers and this podcast is inspired by the hospitality sector and also the food and drink producers that we have on the island. And I think it's an important part, or certainly a part of why the island was given a UNESCO biosphere status recently. So there are some exciting things going on. It's very vibrant. And I'll be talking to many of the people involved in it from the food and drink side and also in the hospitality sector. We'll try and understand what they do, how they do and why they do it, what got them into it, and try and learn a little bit about them and get some music selection from them as well. So I hope you enjoy the episodes and enjoy the series. So welcome to this episode, which is all about Eat Street IOW. And I was lucky to start following this little company about a year or so ago, and I noticed they were doing a lot of great stuff out on Instagram. So their use of social media has really sort of helped them build their business. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk to them, so I got in touch with Laurel and Alex Wibberley, who are the dynamic duo that run Eat Street IOW. And there is a lot to them. They have now established a new HQ, and that's on the edge of Cowes. And they are really establishing a great reputation for the food and the service that they offer their clients. So I thought it'd be an interesting time to talk to these guys. And I spent a nice hour with them fairly early one morning, and we had a great conversation. So this is the start, the first part of the conversation, and they've also got some great tracks that reflect their relationship, them, what they do, and everything to do with Eat Street IOW. And they are very, very organized and a very together couple as well, which is fabulous. So if you haven't come across Eat Street IOW, then hopefully this episode will get you making that connection. So here's to the first part of the conversation with Alex and Laurel. I'm here today with Laurel and Alex Wibberley of Eat Street.
Hello, I'm Laurel.
Sorry about that. I'm trying to get back into this. It's too early in the morning for me, but never mind. It's lovely to be here, and we're at the Eat Street kitchen table.
The new HQ.
That's right, yeah. It's impressive. I really like the way you've got it laid out. So we'll have to have a little look at that a bit later on.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it seems to be working really well. It's just get the business out of the house, which has been amazing for us, hasn't it? So,
Huge step.
Yeah.
Been in the house for 3 years, and they've got too much.
Yes, I know that. I know that from personal experience. So I fully relate to that situation. So, I've been watching you on social media for the last, I suppose, 12 months or so, and seeing so much good stuff going on, which is great for you. And I think great for the island as well to have what you do here. So what's the history behind Eat Street, and what is it that Eat Street offer?
So we started off with a takeaway. We both got made redundant, and we were just friends at the time. We got accidentally locked down together. I started up the business on my own initially, and it was a street food takeaway offering world cuisine. So, you know, the whole family don't have to choose to have Indian or Chinese. They can have, you know, a mixture of different cuisines, and that was kind of the USP behind it. And it was completely contact free because it was in the middle of lockdown. And so that's kind of where we started, and then we became more than friends, and, you know, Laurel joined the business full time, and then, you know, from there it's kind of evolved away from the takeaway. Naturally, as things have opened up more, people can go out to eat, and the events have started really picking up for us. Then we've moved away from that and gone events only, haven't we? And we're just getting more and more inquiries for weddings, private parties, and then we started doing our own events this year as well. Mm. So that's kind of where we are now, isn't it?
Yeah, just doing the pop-ups. Mm. So we try and do them all over the island, all different cuisines and different service styles. So some are quite formal, some are really relaxed from the trailer. We did one on Saturday, all-day yoga pop-up. So yeah, just a bit of everything, organising our own events, weddings, corporate things.
Mm. So I'm right in thinking you were a pastry chef, is that right?
That's right, yeah, predominantly. So I've Most of my career I've spent as a pastry chef, but I've always kind of, typical pastry chefs kind of hide in the back of the pastry kitchen and don't get involved in anything else, but I've always sort of made sure that I was part of the whole kitchen and saw what was going on, took an interest and was kind of learning as I went. So when I did start it up, I was a little bit nervous, you know. I kind of got some, you know, good basic knowledge and stuff, but I was kind of thinking, I had a bit of imposter syndrome, you know, am I going to be able to do this? But constantly learning, constantly trying new things and evolving as we go. So it's just, yeah, it's just worked out really well. But I get to do all the pastry stuff as well, and it's just, it keeps it interesting.
Well, absolutely, and I completely relate to that. Completely relate to that, because you start off with sort of being trained, but trying to do the whole gamut of what you can do in the kitchen, from meat to fish to pastry to bread and all the rest of it. And I just certainly learnt I'm not good at doing cakes. So I always get it. I let that one go out to somebody else to do. But yeah, I do. I mean, I've got involved with something in September, which is going to be predominantly Ottolenghi Mediterranean based, which is nice to do.
Lovely.
I haven't done that for a while, but I did do a wedding party, which they wanted everything Ottolenghi. Which was great. And, and it's nice to get out, step out the comfort zone and do something completely different. So from the food, you talk about different styles, but have you developed a fusion?
It can be a fusion, or it can sit, if a customer comes to us and says they want Indian, then we do Indian. You know, if they want Korean, Mexican, you know, French, it doesn't matter. We do it for them. But sometimes when we're doing our own events, we'll just fuse things together, and we'll just do a play on something. We'll do like an Asian taco, or you know, something like that. So we're just mixing lots of different cuisines together, and it seems to go down really well. It's just something that you can't get anywhere else. It's on the island, you know. And actually, I don't think there are that many companies generally, you know, not just speaking on the island, that offer that multi cuisine food. You know, they have the specialists. And I think, you know, what we do is just deliver a range of stuff, you know, really well.
And all of our events are completely different as well. So all the weddings that we've got this year, we've got 11, they're all completely different. And we're dictated by the couple of what they want to eat, because it's their special day. So they let us know what food they enjoy. And, you know, we tailor a menu accordingly, and everything's completely bespoke, which we feel is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a wedding should, well, not just a wedding, but any kind of event should be, it's their day, it's not our day. So if they say, oh, can we do that? And we say, well, yeah, of course you can, it's your day. As long as we can do it, and I feel comfortable that we've got the right equipment. We're normally led by equipment more than anything else. You know, we've got a very small horse box, so how do we deliver? I mean, we've done about 300 covers from it, just the two of us, from the trailer. And it's a small space, but we can deliver that. But it just depends on the menu, you know. So if someone else is having a different menu, it might not work for the equipment we've got. So
that must take up a lot of prep time.
Yeah, it's a lot of prep, certainly. But it's all in the planning, you know. I mean, it's just all. We do a lot of slow and low cooking, so generally our meats, we use a lot of like shoulder joints, like fatty joints, really full of flavour, and we'll grind them for 24 hours and then cook them for 2 to 3 days. So that's a 4-day process in itself, just with the meat. So it does take a lot of planning. All the bread is made fresh on the day without compromise, so that's something that dictates the time.
That's a definite selling point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all, you know, unique. We make colourful breads with vegetable juices and things like that, and it's something that we don't compromise on. So if I have to get up at 3 one day, then I'd get up at 3 to make the bread, you know. It will make sure it's fresh.
Admire you for that.
There are things that we are on non-negotiables, like the baking bread fresh, and like the food waste and sustainability. They're just things that we would never want to compromise on, wouldn't we?
And yeah, definitely.
You know, we won't just pitch up with the horse box, open the hatch and serve however many people, because we've got the food waste element involved. And we don't want to come home at the end of an event and throw away loads of food, because for us, that's really important that we're not doing it.
It is, and even more so now with the cost of ingredients and everything else. I mean,
it is, however, it's not really a cost-driven process. it's about the sustainability of it.
No, I understand that.
Obviously, it's important.
I understand that because, I mean, that's my challenge to myself every time I do something is to make sure that what I come back with is, it's not the waste, it's all gone.
Yeah.
And whatever I do come back with is very little.
So you can eat it yourself.
And so we can eat it ourselves and finish it off. But yeah, nothing goes to waste. I mean, you, in the old days when we had chickens, they used to get some waste from that, which is fine. But no, I get what you're saying because it hits me when I see a plate full of food coming back that's not really been eaten.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder why. Yeah. And sometimes I've asked and I wasn't in the mood or it wasn't the right thing for me. And I think, well, okay, that's, if they weren't involved in the menu choices, then there's not really much you can do about it because what I'm concerned about was the food.
Yeah. There's a few little tricks we've got to kind of cut the food waste down. So we do a lot of family-style service, so tapas-style, lots of small dishes on the table. And what we tend to do is if we've got a table of 10, we might put 5 portions of everything out on the table initially and then top it all up. And if it doesn't need topping up, then we can box it all up for the bride and groom and we'll put it in the fridge for them and they can have it the next day and it's not been out to the table.
No,
so
exactly.
That's a lot less waste, but they're still getting what they've paid for, so that works really well.
Yeah,
and it's a really interactive sermon style, people love it. So
sounds interesting. I must do, attend one of these then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so thanks for that introduction. And I'm sure there's an awful lot more we can talk about, which we will do in a minute. So, first song, and it doesn't have to be meaningful or the reasons why meaningful, but any reasons why you selected the song would be fun to hear.
Yeah, so we've kind of got our song, which is Home by Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and that was our first dance song at our wedding. We got the band to learn the song and play it for us. And I guess, when we're working and stuff, if we've had a bit of a tough day and we might be niggling each other a little bit and we get a bit grumpy that sort of thing. And maybe even if we've had a bit of an argument and we're kind of not really talking, I will normally play that song and then it just kind of just reminds us both what's important and we forget about everything else.
Lifts the
mood. A little dance around the kitchen.
Yeah, we normally dance together and it's just one of those things that just brings us back to reality.
That's what you call real teamwork.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So the next part of the conversation really talks about how you adapt and how you change, and both Laurel and Alex have had to do a lot of this right from when they got together in the initial throes of lockdown, and it comes across quite clearly, and they're very, very adept at making changes, and I think they're very smart, and there's a lot of sense in what they say and what they do. And I think that comes across in this part of the conversation. It's really good.
Yeah, we had someone build it initially, but yeah, I've been managing it for probably 2 years now.
Yeah.
Just do all the updates and changes and try to do the best I can. I have to Google a lot.
Yeah,
done a few courses and things as well, so getting there.
So I guess from what you were saying earlier, that the business is pretty much as it is, as you planned it, or has there been any changes to it?
Well, no, because initially, obviously, it started off as a takeaway, so it's
so that was the COVID bit, but...
Yeah, so it's very different from what it was originally, because initially, through COVID, the takeaway was really popular, it was really good, and it's always been really nice to see the support we've had from customers, and they've really enjoyed... We used to do a weekly special, so 1 week it was meat-based, 1 week it was vegan, so we were seeing really unusual, different things every week. But actually last year we looked at the numbers like we do every year, and it was 10% of our revenue. It's probably 80% of our time taken up on the takeaway, so it's a natural no-brainer to move away from it and stop doing it. And it was hard because we had some customers, we had some over Shorewell who had ordered 96 times from us every week for 2 years, and you have to say, well, we can't come out just for you anymore, but they understand, they're supportive, and we've just moved in. Now it's events, but food-wise, very much the same. Yeah. But we're always evolving.
Yeah.
And when we first started, we didn't really think about doing events, did we? We kind of thought maybe we'll do one or two here and there, and then it's obviously just taken off, and we're doing more and more.
It's deja vu to me, because that's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah, right.
After a year of doing markets, do you do events? No. Do you want to do events? Oh, I hadn't thought about it. And that's, I'd changed, immediately switched business model. And that's what I did. So I can relate to that totally. And it's, I think what that says, and it should, people should take heed of it, is whilst you think you've got an idea, how you implement it isn't necessarily the best way for that idea to go.
No.
And, we both experienced doing little bits individually for a lot of people. It's not the best use of your time.
No, do you know what? We love changing, you know, and we listen to what our business is telling us. You know, a lot of people, when they start a business from scratch, they romanticize about that idea because it's their vision and they want to do it their way.
Yeah.
And when it's not working, they don't change it. And that's why we see so many businesses closing all the time because they're doing the same thing they were doing at the start, but suddenly they don't have any customers and they say, oh, well, we can't do it anymore. And you say, well, why don't you change your business model? Yeah, you know, even during COVID, you know, a lot of people couldn't open, but they could do other things, they could adapt. You saw a lot of innovation coming out of COVID.
I did, and I saw people who I'd sort of advised back then, to just before COVID, to what one particular guy wanted to go in and do his home food, which was going.
Yeah.
And he started that, but he then did exactly what, as soon as COVID hit and they were able to start doing the takeaway delivery stuff, he was doing that.
Yeah.
And he's still doing the other stuff as well now. Mm-hmm. Dropped the COVID. What developed because of COVID back off.
Yeah, you've got to be agile. Yeah. You've got to move around. I mean, we've done a Christmas shop.
That was the word I was looking for.
We've done a Christmas shop for the last couple of years, you know, and it's been really good, you know, but, you know, we're not sure that we'll be doing that again. So we're constantly changing what we're up to. And
we're also not afraid to say, actually, that didn't work.
No.
Let's not do that again. We don't have so much pride that we'll just do it even though it's not working. We'll just say, okay, well, we tried to do that. Like last year, we paid for a lot of marketing, for example, and actually we've not seen any return from it, so we're not going to do it again. And you know, there's no point putting a lot of time and effort into something that isn't working.
And some of the things that we try, actually, we, you know, like with the pop-ups and things like that, some of the pop-ups we don't make any money off. We break even, and there's been a couple of times where, you know, we haven't actually, but we think we might even make a loss on it. But we say, well, we're going to learn from that, you know, because if we use it as almost like a bit of an experiment, just to
like
tell us,
tool as well.
Yeah, to tell us what's happening, you know, what people want. It's almost like a focus group that you're.
Exactly. I was going to use the term barometer. It's a good way of finding out what is happening and what people are thinking about food, because it's a conversation I have had a number of times, you know, is, especially when you're sort of in the cafe and the cake and that side of the hospitality world, you know, it can be quite trendy. You know, the obvious one that springs to mind is cupcakes. Mm. You know, and they still seem to be featured somewhere, but you know, I don't see them around as much as I used to. So I think you've got to, as you say, you've got to be adaptable and agile and change. Mm-hmm. What it is you're offering, on how you're offering it to clients. And I think
that's it. Yeah, essentially what we're offering is something unique and bespoke, and as soon as there becomes a time when we're not unique anymore, then we need to change it.
So run me through a typical menu you might do for a customer.
I mean, that's the thing about us.
That was the wrong question. Run me through a menu, so give us some idea of the sorts of food you might do.
So, I mean, it is completely bespoke to the client. So, you know, sometimes this year we've had quite a lot of requests for like Greek, Middle Eastern kind of stuff. So, lots of like sharing food, tapas style dishes on the table.
Loaded flatbreads.
Yeah, exactly. Like really fresh, clean flavours. Yeah. We're doing that a lot. We did burgers for a wedding the other week, which they had three different types of burgers, so that all the guests could just kind of choose which burger they wanted. But it's all, it really does vary so much. But we love to cook Middle Eastern, Asian sort of food. Mm. We love Indian food. We don't tend to do a lot of British food unless people specifically ask for it.
Yeah.
But it varies on the season. It varies on our clients, basically. Mm.
That's interesting. It's I certainly get the trend, certainly more now. I don't know if you're seeing it. Everybody wants it more into sort of sharing boards, and that seems to be sort of the thing that's coming up every time more and more at the moment.
I mean, it's how we like to eat, you know. There's it's just such a nice interactive way of eating. You know, you're just talking and naturally, you know, oh, can you pass me the Zorg or whatever it is? And it's just a nice way of just mingling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Although, my wife's sister was up at a restaurant yesterday somewhere up north, and they have a robot that brings the food to the table.
We're not quite enough, are we?
Seriously, it's a little bit, you know, like you see in a warehouse.
Yeah.
They took a photo video of it. It wheels up the way. Get served from there. Yeah, can't believe it.
They're taking over.
I don't think there's much AI in that, though. He did say, don't worry, it didn't do the cooking. Which could be interesting. Yeah, I think the Mediterranean, it's definitely Mediterranean, whether it's sort of the Spanish, the Italians, the Greeks, Turkish, or anywhere as you start getting into North Africa, where it's basically put as many different types of things on the table, different flavours, different textures.
Lots of colours.
Yeah. Exactly, just to get the eye and the palate going. And that's really what I think is capturing people's imaginations more and more. I mean, yes, you still get, you know, to have a beef Wellington, but which is nice to do. I like doing those as well. But I think that sort of an open table like that is a lovely sight to see.
It's definitely our style, and it's what people are seeing on Instagram and stuff as well. That, you know, that all the reels and things you're seeing is all really colourful. You know, quite simple, but just really good quality, and it showcases the island produce really well as well.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
the colourful island tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, think about that, and all the sort of the jams and the chutneys and all those sorts of things that are made off the back of that. So yeah, I think it's there's lots to say for that, which is fantastic. Thank you for that little chat. It's given me some ideas as well, so I appreciate that. So, second song.
Okay, so our second song is Hypersonic Missiles by Sam Fender. This is another song that we put on a lot in the kitchen when we need a bit of a pick-me-up. We were just listening to Sam Fender constantly in lockdown. I think he had just released his album, maybe as we went into lockdown. And yeah, we just love him, don't we? Yeah. Like, listen to him all the time.
Okay, so Hypersonic Missiles it is. So having spoken to Laurel and Alex about how they got together, how Eat Street IOW started and all the rest of that, and that history we've got, there was something that I did notice, and their website is really good, and there's a big blog section on there which highlights quite a number of things. But one of the things that's very visible on there is Alex's openness and honesty to share his sort of issues that he's had with mental health. And there is something called the Burnt Chef Project, which I was aware of probably about a year ago. We really have the time to get stuck into learning more about it, but it looked interesting. But in a year, it's come on a long, long way, and it's very much a global organisation now. And I asked Alex to talk about that in this next section. And he's quite candid about the history and everything else that of things that he's gone through. But the Burnt Chef Project is something that I think more of us will get to learn about and hear about as time goes by. So here we go over to Alex and Laurel again for this next part of the conversation. Noticed on your website that you've got a section about mental health. Can you sort of explain that a little bit more for me?
Yeah, sure. So it's something that's really important to us. We both suffered with mental health issues at some point or another, and actually it's it's an ongoing thing for everyone. Everyone, you know, suffers at some point with some form of mental health, and it does relate to the industry, you know, quite strongly in terms of the pressure and you know, the long hours and all that kind of thing that's been traditional with hospitality. So that's why we decided to, you know, link up with the Burnt Chef Project. And that seems to work really well. So I'm an ambassador for the Isle of Wight for the Burnt Chef.
That's brilliant. I mean, that's, as I said, that's something I've, as we were speaking before, I came across that project last year, and I thought it's an idea whose time has come, but unfortunately for whatever reason, I didn't really get further into it at the time, but it's certainly something I'm sort of re-looking at as to whether there's something I could do as part of it. But can you just explain the Burnt Chef project?
Yeah, a little bit more. It's an amazing initiative. It's been going 4 years now, and the growth has been absolutely phenomenal. You know, there's ambassadors all over the world now, huge number, and just the visibility of it all, and the kind of the breaking down that stigma around talking. Mm. That's what it's all about, and it's just the few months that I've been part of it, I've seen huge growth there. Mm. And it's just really fantastic opportunity to be part of something really special, because it is stopping people, you know, from bottling things up. You know, they can talk. So it offers support, it offers training for establishments and companies. It offers support to individuals. You can use text service and things like that to discuss problems, and it offers training for colleges. I'm actually doing a Burnt Chef talk at the Isle of Wight College on Wednesday.
Oh, good for you.
So yeah, it's just a great thing to be part of, and as I say, it's something that, you know, mental health wise, it's ongoing for everyone. Mm. I mean, I personally go to therapy every 2 weeks, and that's just a more of a maintenance thing that I've decided to do this year. Yeah. I'm not going to wait for something bad to happen and then get therapy. I'm just going to check in all the time and talk about how I'm feeling, you know, all the time, which is, I think, especially for men, it's classically been quite a difficult thing to do.
I don't think the male side of the species is actually that good about talking about personal things, really.
No. But it is super
in my experience. But yes, I agree. I've sort of, having the past, done that sort of thing for various reasons, and it was extremely helpful at the time. And I guess the thing is, if you get to a place like you have now after, you know, the circumstances of COVID, and you've built this wonderful project up, you know, Eat Street, and it's going really, really well, there's always a little bit in the back of your mind saying, oh, this is great, and carry on. But you're obviously saying, this is great, but I'm just going to make sure
I can
still cope with everything sometimes when it doesn't quite go the way you want it to go.
That's it. And we're not just, you know, a company. We've got, you know, personal things that are going on as well. Yeah. You know, we've suffered, you know, a bit of a loss this year. Laura had a miscarriage earlier in the year.
Sorry to tell you that.
And so, you know, there's always something going on that we can, you know, we talk about, and that do creep into your work life as well if you let it. So I think it's important to just keep on top of it and to look after yourselves. We're not great at it all the time. We did start doing self-care Fridays.
Lasted about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's just...
It's a bit like a diet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the demands of the business sometimes take over, but we have to just check ourselves and just go, actually, we need to be making sure that we've got time for ourselves. Yeah. And we were just doing, you know, with Friday, we'd finish at 12, and we would do whatever we wanted to do, but for ourselves individually. So if Laura wanted to go and have a bath and put some music on, that's what she'd do. And you know, it was just a really good way of looking after ourselves, wasn't it?
And I think people really underestimate mental health, and actually everyone suffers with mental health issues, in inverted commas, at some point in their life. But it just doesn't seem to be talked about, or it seems to be quite an awkward subject to bring up.
I don't know whether it needs redefining or giving a different name. Do you know what I mean? Because I agree with you, everything you said. I think there is, everybody at some point needs, I'm trying to find the right word, but a shoulder to cry on, somebody they can go to.
They just need to let
something out, and even if they don't get don't worry about it, or there, go away, or whatever, you know, they just want to get it out, because it just releases that pent up, you could call it negativity, that emotion, that's just that whole feeling that they need to, needed to share.
And that's why journaling works really well for some people, because they could just write it down, and they're not telling anybody specifically, but they're getting it out of their head. And that, you know, for some people that works really well.
Yeah. Sorry, Laurie. And now that we've got this place, the HQ, it gives us a really good opportunity that if there are members in the hospitality industry struggling over here, actually this is a safe space. They can come here, they can come and have a coffee, come and have a chat, you know, if they are really struggling and they need some help, Alex can signpost them to various resources within the Burnt Chef Project, various different people within the organisation that can help them and give them the support that they need. So, yeah, if anybody is listening that wants to come and have a chat, pop in.
That's very kind of you. Very kind of you. And that's a big offer. That is a big offer.
We'll always listen, though, won't we? Because we found it, especially recently, we've needed to talk to people.
Yeah.
And people have been there and they've listened, haven't they? Mm. And they'll always, you know, offer a shoulder to cry on or, you know, even just an ear. And actually, it's really therapeutic.
Yeah.
Because,
no,
like
I agree.
You said, sometimes you just need to...
Just offload it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, actually, doing that that blog initially, you know... It wasn't something that I did to kind of help myself. It was something that I just thought, if I do this, then people know that they're kind of not on their own, or, you know, and it might help a couple of people. But do you know what? The amount of supportive messages that we got saying, wow, this is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. Mm. You know, it really did. It was amazing, wasn't it? The amount, the responses that we had from it.
Thank you for being so honest,
I agree.
Highest comment that we got, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's quite ironic in a way, because I wanted to do it about something that wasn't business related or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if someone had said to me, you know, where are the times when you suffered most with mental health? It probably wouldn't have been with my colitis at the time, because it feels so long ago that I've almost forgotten about it. Yeah. And it's still an ongoing thing that I manage, but actually, that I think the message there is that whilst you're in it, it feels like the worst thing in the world, but brighter days are coming. You will come out of it, and you'll get to a point where you think, wow, I can't even hardly remember that.
No, and the thing is, once you get yourself into something that, especially when it's something you want to do, you've then got that strength from having created this. Because I remember I created the kitchen I worked out of initially, and it was all done professionally, the white rock walls, the flooring, you know, all the rest of it. It took me weeks to actually work up the courage to go in through the front door to start cooking.
Right, yeah.
Because it was like, this is a major change, because I've been working for other people for over 25 years.
Yeah.
And that started that, which it sounds pathetic, but there is a, like, this is a major step. Yeah. It's a major change.
I can relate to that, but I think... certainly my strength comes from our customers and the support, because, you know, I've got really bad imposter syndrome. I'm constantly questioning myself, can I do this? Am I good enough? And Laurel's always trying to, you know, trying to talk me out of it. But actually what kind of works is, you know, looking at all that positivity that we've received.
No, I mean, that's where you should draw the strength from, because that's not something you've carried. That's something that you might have been on the menu, but, you know, that's a bad joke. But it's what you've gained from the work that you've done and your skills, both of you, because, you know, if people appreciate it that much and they're prepared to write something and send it to you.
Then... Yeah, definitely. And I think we're so humbled by the support that we've had right from the beginning, and actually moving into this place, we wouldn't be here without any of the support from our customers. And it's just incredible, the support that we have. And we're just so grateful to everybody.
I think partly because you deserve it for the work you do. So.
Well, that's the evidence to support that, isn't it? Which
absolutely.
We have to keep reminding ourselves about.
No, thank you for sharing that. And what's the next song on the list?
The next song on the list is Billy Joel, Piano Man.
Oh.
And that is just one of those ones where you can put on super loud and belt it out. And it's just a mood lifter every time, because we both sing along. And Laurel tends to whistle along to everything. Same tune to every song.
Which I won't do right now. I don't think anyone needs to listen to it.
Best not. But I think to that one we both sing, and it's just a great mood lifter.
Brilliant. Good stuff. The third part of this conversation with Alex and Laurel, and the one thing I have noticed is they engage with you very directly. They're listening, and it is a great conversation to have, and it could be about anything. In this particular part of the conversation, it's really about how they work together, how they've defined, learnt and defined their roles, who's better placed to do one job versus another. And I think they've really worked that out very, very well. Now, whether that was forced through COVID or whatever, but I think it's a bit more than just the COVID. I think they've also learned that as they've moved forward. And then when you see what they've done to the new HQ and how hard they've worked, especially Alex, in terms of doing the work, physically doing the work of doing the building work, essentially. And obviously then there's Laurel's skills with finances and websites and other stuff. So they've worked out roles for each other, which is fabulous. And they've come to that under their own terms. And I think that really makes it such a strong partnership, and it works really well together. And from a customer's point of view, that's absolutely fantastic, because they're both working off the same page to deliver the same things, and that comes across clearly. So this is the next part of the conversation with them both. So back again here at Eat Street HQ, and I'm just going to talk to Laurel and Alex about the new facilities that we have here, which are quite impressive. I wasn't really expecting this. And yes, sort of, you come to the outside of the unit here, and it's a unit, but you come inside and it feels like a real proper professional kitchen, and it's very impressive. But you've only had this since March this year.
That's right,
and
yeah.
I gather you've done all the work.
Yeah, basically we
Alex
had...
has. I haven't.
Yeah, well, that's on his stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's,
I painted the bathroom, actually.
You did paint the bathroom,
that's one thing. Oh, well done.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. And we kind of weren't really looking for anything, but we had reached limits. We were getting very stressed about the space, because it was taking up three rooms in the house. We were renting a garage, which was full. And over the winter, the garage got quite damp. We lost a bit of stock, and it started to get to the point where we just couldn't cope with it anymore. I mean, if we do a wedding for 150 people and we take back all of the dirty crockery and everything to our house, you can't separate that, you know, from work. So I just saw something. We went and had a look. It was a bit smaller. They said, actually, I've got another one. Do you want to have a look at that? And, you know, initially the first one, we were kind of just thinking we'd just get the office out and the storage out. But then this one is big enough for everything. So we've got offices, storage, kitchen, and meeting space here. You know, so it's actually just, you know, it's a great space, and we've tailored it to what we need. And it's just so, like, I used to have to go upstairs to our spare bedroom to get some chocolate. You know, now it's next to me. It's just all planned properly, and it works. And it's such a nice space to work, isn't it?
Yeah, and just to have everything in one place. So before, we would have things stored at the house, in the attic, down at the garage. So if we're doing an event and we maybe need, you know, one more glass because we, you know, counted wrong or whatever, we've got to go all the way down to the garage, get the glass, to go back before we leave for the event. Whereas here, everything's in one place, it's all organised, it's all, you know, up in storage, and it just means that we're a lot more efficient with our time, and we can lock the door at the end of the day and go back to our house.
And the cat.
That's
the only thing about the office here, it doesn't have a cat.
It's certainly true. It's the kitchen area. Everybody kind of thought you need a kitchen, but what people don't really take into account, especially is when you're doing events, is there's crockery, there's glasses, there's cutlery, there's all that sort of stuff. Where does that all go?
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, let's say my kitchen was one side of the garage, the other half was storage.
Yeah,
and I was lucky that's the way it worked.
Yeah.
So is it just you doing all the cooking?
Yeah, it is. And we've had
I don't get involved with the cooking at all.
No, I know that story.
No one will know that.
But I don't do any of the accounting, you know, because when I first started the business off and I was doing my own QuickBooks, it was a mess. It was horrendous. And until Laurel took it over, it probably took her nearly a year to try and fix what I'd done, because I just...
You're a wonderful lady. Websites and accounting, that's fantastic.
That's why we just a bargain, saving money.
Yeah, we just play negotiator.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just play to our strengths, don't we? We just do what you know, what works. I mean, we don't have to say, oh, are you going to do that or am I going to do that? It's just obvious when a job comes in, whether it's a me job or a Laurel job. It's just simple.
So. No, and I think that's great that that works that way, because if you don't have that clear sort of definition, whether it's written down or not, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It can get somewhat fraught if there's blurred lines and if you're able to sort of separate everything out and just... I think that works.
Yeah. No, so. we've had a chef come in when we've had like really big events. So I think twice we've had someone come and help a friend. Just we did a 4-day wedding over New Year for 100 people. We took over a hotel and did everything from breakfast through to chocolates on their pillows. We did. So it was.
And I did all the wedding planning for her as well. So it was, a huge event, wasn't
scale,
it?
Big scale. So.
But it was incredible. It was such a good experience for us. We'll never do anything like it.
I mean, that's something that you really somehow potentially could bottle up and pull back off the shelf and reuse. Because there aren't many people with that experience delivering both sides of a wedding, which is the event planning and the actual food part of it as well.
That is something we offer now. Laurel will do wedding planning, and there's various different levels of it. So she can literally take on everything for the bride and groom, or it could be, hand over a month before just to say if there's any problems on the day, they're not going to be ringing the bride and groom, they'll be ringing Laurel, and she's the point of contact. So there's different things that we've taken from it, and the experience has been phenomenal. We really enjoyed it, didn't we?
Yeah, it's great.
See, I mean, I wouldn't have thought of putting a little area like this, the table, as a place to congregate, because my kitchen, the one I had before, it was just me in there, so it was like I was going to have a drink. I either went into the house, or I, and it's nice and sunny, I'd be outside and sitting outside and enjoying it. But here, it's nice to have these little separate areas or rooms, as my wife would call them, so that you can separate yourself away, so you take yourself from prep area and come and sit down and
We do all our wedding tastings here, so we offer a complimentary wedding tasting. So
that's good.
The clients will come and they might bring some family members and sit down, and we want it to be a nice relaxed experience for them. So,
and we wanted the space to just work for us and have different zones for different jobs, and like upstairs we've got the office, we've got the storage, and then downstairs, because we've got this dining area, it is separate from the kitchen, so it means that we can have lunch here, and we are separate from being in the kitchen and working. And originally, when we first got the keys, we thought about opening the roller and getting the trailer inside, and actually it was about 3 inches or something too long to fit in the space before the wall. But actually it's worked out for the best, because we wouldn't have had this space.
No, exactly.
And actually it's a really nice space to have, and
I think
means
it
we can do our tastings. The kitchen would have had to be smaller,
and we're just looking at getting a new trailer, so we would have been restricted by size if had that been the case. We're a bit more open now to what we can get.
I think it just works really well for you down here, and it's I'm very envious. But I think it's fabulous, especially as you put it together so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally for like 5 weeks, actually. It was just down here every day, just working. I built all the internal walls, and I did all the electrics. It's only we've had a plumber in, and then just last week, actually, we put in 3-phase electric, which I obviously didn't do, and got a proper commercial oven, which is a bit beefier.
Yeah,
does
help.
Yeah.
But everything else, Alex has done.
Talented man.
Lots of skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if it's that, or just don't like paying other people to do stuff.
Well, there could just be there could be an element of being tight as well.
There's a bit of both there, but if I can do it, I will try and do it, you learn so much from it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've repaired bits and pieces that stopped working, and all the painting, and you have to do what you need to do, because sometimes you can't wait days or weeks for somebody to come fix it. You just need to get on and get it sorted. So, I think all hats off to you. I think it's fabulous for both of you that you've got this. This space. It looks great.
Yeah,
so, track number, where are we? Number 4.
Okay, so this is Through the Echoes from Paolo Nutini. we actually saw him whilst we were on our honeymoon. Went up to London for a couple of days, went to the Ali Pali. And yeah, we've both just loved him since, well, since These Streets came out. Yeah. I don't know what year that was. And he brought this new album out. And
we thought he was gone, didn't we?
Yeah,
like, that was
just
it.
Because
he went off the face of the planet for like 7 years, didn't he? And yeah, it was just so nice to see, wow, there's a new Paulo album out.
It was just so sudden. Mm. All of a sudden, it was new album,
yeah,
tour, and we were like,
I remember that, because
who
is this guy called Nattini? Yeah. I've never heard of him before. It was obviously was around a lot more, but yeah.
Yeah, he's just incredible.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. So we're coming up to the end of the conversation with Laurel and Alex, and one of the themes that I think probably has come out is they innovate quite a lot, and they're also very flexible when it comes to taking up opportunities or trying new things. So with that in mind, I thought, well, let's find out what the future holds, and this is their view of what's happening in the future for Eat Street IOW. All right, so welcome back, and this is, I think, going to be our last sort of bit of the conversation. So I've got to ask the question: what's the future now for Eat Street, either short term and longer term? Because we've all got to think and plan ahead. So I know.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, we don't know kind of what's round the corner completely. So we're always going to be quite agile and just kind of quite reactive to what's going on and changing up the business. But we do have some plans for the autumn and the start of next year to do some more pop-ups around the island. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And, you know, as soon as we've got all of our summer weddings out of the way, we've got a lot of work involved in doing some changes to our dining space for our Eat Street table, which goes, well, it's live now, but bookings from October onwards. So yeah, that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, really exciting. And you can basically choose any cuisine you want, and Alex will just cook for you all evening. So it's just up to 8 people, which we're really excited about.
Mm.
Really excited to start doing something a bit different for people. And then more recently, we've just bought a new horse box. So that's going to be keeping Alex busy over the winter.
New unit and new horse box.
Yeah, exactly. So just massive conversion plans for that, because at the moment it's still very much a horse box with muck in it and a feeding schedule on the wall for the horse. So it's got, yeah, needs a new floor and all sorts of things. We're going to try and make it so it's an extendable space when we get onto the site of an event. So yeah, big plans. We've already been having meetings with some equipment suppliers and deciding what we want in there, just planning that. But that's going to kind of take up the weekdays, and then I'll probably be decorating the house on the weekends. So yeah, autumn's going to be fun.
The horse box sounds fascinating, because I think it's an interesting space. I mean, you're obviously having a specialist do something to get it the way you want it. What sort of numbers could you do out of the back of that?
Well, at the moment, in our current horse box, we've done 300 out of there, just the two of us. So we can churn out big numbers already, and we are increasing our capacity, but probably more to make our life easier, not necessarily increase our numbers, just make it more efficient. And the space will be, well, there's a bigger horse box anyway, but the extendable space will obviously make it a lot bigger. We'll be able to fit a lot more equipment in there, so we'll be able to do some stuff that we don't do at the moment, like smoking. We're going to have some hot smokers in there and stuff, so yeah, some really exciting things coming for that.
And it's just going to be more geared to events, really, where the horse box that we've got at the moment, we always set out to be a takeaway business.
Yeah,
that's what the horse box was for. So it's a relatively small space that we just had to make the best with, didn't we, for the takeaway. But
obviously
we're not doing that anymore, we're just doing the events. So we need to be able to cater for bigger numbers and variety of menus and dishes and things like that.
So we are kind of consulting with some specialists to do a few bits of the conversion, but most of it I'll do myself.
Seeing what you've done here, I expect it to look amazing. No pressure. I'm sorry, Alex, but no pressure.
It will.
No, it should do. Yeah, we've got yeah, we've got some experts that we are consulting on bits that I can't do, and we're looking at getting some vinyl wrapping done and things, so it's going to look really interesting, really cool. So we've just obviously got to bear in mind that it's going to be at someone's wedding, so like, we just want it to look really smart, really clean.
So yeah, so that'll be ready. That'll be ready for the start of the season next year. So all of the weddings next year will have the nice shiny new horse box.
we're kind of hoping to do a bit of a launch party as well for that, so that, you know, look out for that as well. Another kind of pop-up which should be fun. So lots of ideas.
Maybe that's the subject for a short let's revisit and see how you get on with the horse box.
Absolutely,
that'd be interesting.
That'd be really cool, definitely
we'll come and give you the tour.
That's absolutely fine. I look forward to that. Actually, I'm always fascinated with the choice of a horse box, because I think the first one I ever saw was obviously the obvious one, the coffee. But obviously everything's moved on now. It's whatever vehicle suits. So whether it's for a wood-fired pizza van or whatever it happens to be, it's quite an amazing sort of change in the, I suppose, in that aspect of the hospitality sector. It's just using vehicles in sometimes very creative ways. I mean, the other one I do remember was VW as a cocktail bar.
There's some amazing conversions out there, and we've got some really quite ambitious plans for it, actually, so it will be quite exciting to see. It's not going to be like the old one. It'll be it'll be kind of all singing and dancing, which is really cool, isn't it?
Xbox 2.0.
that's your Christmas present to each other then.
Well, it's kind of come out of necessity, because the old horse box is kind of been condemned, so it was so rusty. We actually had to get us through the season. We actually had to cut the wheels off, cut the A-frame off, and mount it onto another flatbed trailer. And, you know, which is fine, it served as well for the summer this year, but it was kind of a bit of a let's act now and get us through, and then we can plan it properly and not react too quickly and you know, rush the decision. So
brilliant.
Hopefully that will
Luck with that one. Thank you. Anything else going on, or are actually from what it sounds like, you've got more than enough on your plate?
I think that has anyway.
Well,
you can take a seat back and relax.
I think just in terms of like the East Street table that we discussed, like that's going to be quite a big thing for us, because we're trying to really offer something that you can't get anywhere else on the island, and literally anything, any cuisine that you want, any dietary requirements you want, and you know, we'll offer you a full dining experience, and there is an elevator package to that as well. So if you wanted to, you know, price on application, we can pick you up from anywhere on the island, bring you over here, include alcohol all evening, and then take you home again. So you know, that's something that I don't mean get anywhere else.
My ideal idea of a night out, that one.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
wined and dined,
and it's
then driven home.
Exactly, and it's completely bespoke. You know, so it's not just it's like going out to a restaurant, but actually it's one step further, because we're cooking exactly what you want, and it's going to be a surprise menu in the way that you would say we like Korean food, we like Mexican food, and we'll just cook for you based on like a sharing style service. But there's not going to be a menu as such, so it's going to be quite different.
And then
there will be some pop-ups, as mentioned, but we've got some plans for that later in the year.
That's a lot of juggling.
We've
always got stuff going on.
Well, I think that you can easily fall into the trap on the island of just becoming, you know, a summer business. And we really didn't want to be, you know, we're so busy in the summer we can't cope with it, and in the winter we're just closed, you know, we don't want to be that kind of business, so we just need to flex and do different things, and that's what we've been up to really. So
You know, there's innovation that really does make sense, and you know, so you've got that, which you're using the HQ here to do something different, and then you've got the horse box, which gives you flexibility to go and travel around the island, which is great. So you've got, I think, probably a strategy that's the best of both worlds, because you're able to work from either here or where you work from here anyway, but to do events for clients here,
that's it,
but then do it actually at different venues as well, which is great.
Yeah, it gives us a completely mobile kitchen, so you can turn up somewhere that doesn't have a kitchen and still sort of manage to knock out quite, you know, a lot of good food.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good. Well, good luck with all of that.
Thanks very much.
I wish you well. I shall be thinking about you during the autumn.
We might be looking slightly more haggard next time you see us.
I think I might be. You're going to get your rest that you've been waiting for.
Yeah. Well, it does come a point, I think, sometimes in every year where you do need to breathe and take a couple of weeks.
And we're taking a bit of holiday. Yeah, we've got some time off for Laura's birthday, and we've got our first wedding anniversary coming up. So yeah, we've got some plans for that. So it'll be tempered with a lot of breaks as well.
Yeah,
won't it?
So good stuff. So last track.
Yeah. So that's Worry by Jack Garrett.
Yeah.
And I was kind of listening to him quite a bit before Laura moved in, and he sings a lot about mental health, and you know, just really cool. And we both got into him, didn't we, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Went to see him in May for my birthday. Which is amazing, and he's just doing stuff with music that I just haven't seen from anyone else.
It's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite, it kind of sounds quite produced, but when you see him live, he's you know, playing guitar, mixing, singing, he's playing a keyboard, like he's doing it all himself, like there's no one there. So I mean, I'm sure that, like, obviously he would have a production team and kind of want to shout them out, but in terms of, like, when you're just from a a spectator sort of viewpoint, it's just incredible, isn't it? So yeah, that's something we both really enjoy.
Okay, good luck. Thanks very much, both of you, for your time, and I look forward to seeing you sometime down the track in about 6 months and see where the horse box is and all the rest of it.
Yeah, so, sounds great. Thanks very much.
And I'll keep an eye for you on Instagram, as always.
Yeah,
great.
Thanks. Thanks for your Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Food and Music Podcast. I'm very pleased that you took the time to do that, and so grateful for your ears. Thank you very much indeed. I've got some more exciting episodes planned coming up over the next few weeks and months. And if you would like to share this podcast with friends or family, it's available on Spotify, Amazon, Google, or Apple, and a couple of other platforms. So thank you very much for doing that, and I really appreciate your time, and look forward to you listening again to the next episodes of the podcast.